again today for those that might have walked in, and it's wonderful to see you and have you with us today. Cool. So, here at Marion Vineyard, if you're new to us today, we're on a journey right now, really discovering about what it means to be God's church on mission and what that means for us. We recently had a church family camp, which was awesome fun. And in that, we really just wanted to wait on Holy Spirit to say, God, what is it you might be revealing to us? And something that came from that was that God could be highlighting three groups of people who are kind of in transition in life, searching for meaning and need. And they were the youth, university students, and new migrants here in Adelaide. And so they're the things we're really wanting to ponder on and wrestle and really seek God about. And last week we had a fantastic sermon. For those that were here can say yes and amen. Melanie shared to us on being a cheerful and generous giver. And I think it was the best sermon on finances and all that sort of stuff, the stuff we kind of steer away from. But it was so good. Yay, yes, thank you. And, you know, that's a really important thing to think about too, because that was we're wanting to reach out. It does cost money to help people in need. And, you know, it's not meant to be a guilt trip at all. It's what God's calling us to. And like everything in life, we just need to ask Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying to me in this? What do you want my response to be as we seek to be followers of Jesus Christ? So I'm just going to pray and we'll get stuck in today. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this afternoon. And, Lord, I do sense that as your people, that Holy Spirit, you are brooding over us as we wait with you to ponder the what next and the how to, as we seek to travel with you and partner with you in this world as we see people come to you. And Lord, I know that as a family, Lord, you are moving in us as your church and in individuals, Lord, that you're wanting continually to shift and move in us those things that need to shift and move. And Lord, I know that's about our mindsets and our heart attitudes, so that we all together as one, can be brought in to be your perfect, holy and powerful bride of Christ in this space, in this world, that we would be your mouthpiece, your hands and feet to a world that is hurting. So come, Lord. Lord, as we feed on your word today, may you lead us, Holy Spirit, and may our hearts be soft and pliable and ready to receive what it is you want to do and say. And Lord, we just say, here we are. So come, Lord, you are good and beautiful, and we can fully put our trust in you. So we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So staying in the boat, even when doubt arises. So I heard recently there was a conference in the Vineyard in Melbourne, and someone was speaking to me about it. Some, you know, sometimes when people share things, it kind of sticks with you. There was someone speaking about the church and looking at two kinds of pictures of the church. One was a cruise ship and one's a rescue boat. So we can have that next slide, please. So I thought, oh, are we on a cruise ship or a rescue boat? And I remember something that John Wimber, who's the founder of Vineyard, saying, you know, when we get to heaven, it's time to party. Yes, let's bring it on. But while we're here on earth, it's time to work, to be about God's business here in the world to continue the mission of Jesus. And so if we think about church and what church should be like, or a picture, or, you know, of what it could be like. So if the cruise ship, well, it sounds pretty cruisy and comfortable. I think we all like being on a cruise ship. If you haven't been on one, it sure looks nice. And certainly on a cruise ship, all your needs are met. Wonderful. 24/7 food and entertainment. And I guess in terms of a church, you know, it can appeal to, you know, that sense of, you know, my needs being met. The consumerist society that we're in, certainly it's appealing. And it's all really about, you know, the people on the ship. But it's not a biblical view of what church is meant to be like. But sometimes, you know, a bit of us might cry out for that. Oh, I want to be on a, I want life to be cruisy and comfortable. Alternatively, we're on the rescue boat, and straight away, the word rescue signifies, oh, we've got a job. And certainly in the rescue boat, we're on task to pluck the perishing out of the water. And that's certainly what we're called to. You know, Jesus, when he had died and rose again, he spoke to his disciples. Next slide, please. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." I always liked the way when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the crucifixion, he very commonly said, "Peace be with you." And I love that about Jesus, because we never quite know what Jesus is going to do next. So peace. And it reminds us that he is the Prince of Peace. And for us now, having received the Holy Spirit, his presence by his Spirit is in us. So we have his peace in us. So it's good to remind, peace be with you and peace is in you. But know this, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Can we have the next slide? I think it's a helpful image to have of the church, that we are a rescue ship and we are all on it together. And we are to have a continual outward focus to see the lost come into God's kingdom, to be saved and to follow Jesus. And I found this picture of a rescue ship, and I love the fact it had open arms on it. And I thought, wow, you know, it reminds me too, you know, how we have freely received so we can freely give. We freely receive the open arms of love of God and relationship with him, and we get to do that and invite others into that. And this is actually a ship or a boat that's in operation now. It's from a Spanish NGO, and they go around the Mediterranean picking up migrants who are just floating in the waters, fleeing danger from where they have been in absolute desperation, looking for life and looking for hope. And that's what God is wanting us to do, to pluck people out of danger, bring them into life, into hope, like that guy. And that's a picture of someone who's just come on board a rescue ship. And we get, and Jesus is inviting us to join in that wonderful partnership of seeing people come to life and to receive the joy of Jesus. So in the midst of this journey that I know God has us on as this fellowship, I'm very mindful as a pastor that of looking at people in their lives and the questions that might be bubbling up in their hearts. And I'm mindful of people who are sitting there thinking, but what about me? What about my hurts? What about where I'm at, you know, in the midst of all this? So what about the people who are actually operating the rescue ship? You and me. Do you always feel mission ready? Energised to go out and save lives and fired up to get into the mission of Jesus? No, we don't. We don't, do we? Because we too are going through trials and we're going through tribulations that Jesus didn't shy away from, and Paul described in Scripture to us. It's the part of the reality of the earthly journey we're on, and in the cosmic battle that we're in. We've got things pushing and pulling at us from all sides. So let's remember what else is happening in the church and inside that rescue boat. If we look at Acts 2, starting from verse 28, I'm not going to look at that, but you can certainly do that. It's important to remember what happens with us when God is powerfully present, when we say yes to Jesus, come. Be in our midst, form us and mould us. And we can see what happened there when the Holy Spirit was released and they knew God was strongly with them and present. And if we look at Acts 2 from verse 38, we can see some elements coming out. They were people that were learning, following Jesus, learning about God together. They were getting healed. There were signs and there were wonders. They had their personal needs met. They made sure of that. They took care of each other. There was a strong sense of community, a really beautiful, strong experience of fellowship, not superficial at all, really sharing life in deep and beautiful ways. They were a worshipping community. They encouraged each other in their faith, and there was joy and thankfulness in their experience of doing life together. So in this rescue boat that we're all in together, this is what's happening in the church while we are also on God's mission. So how are you feeling today? It's winter. We get a bit, grey skies, wanting to hibernate. Maybe that's just me. No. So, today, if you're don't feel personally capable or don't feel you have the capacity to reach out, just know that as we continue to do mission together, that we get healed and we get whole along the way as we stick with God and we stick together. We're all wounded healers. It's only till we see Jesus when we die or when he comes again that we see. When we see him, we become perfect. We see everything. We understand everything. But right now, I'm sorry to say, if you thought you were, none of us are perfect. And that's good. We're all on the same level playing field. This job and commission that we may have may just seem way too big and overwhelming, quite honestly. And it does, and it can seem like that, even on a real rescue boat, they are going out and saving thousands. So many are destitute. But for us, it's what we're called to do. It's not something we can or should try to avoid. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to be on his mission as Holy Spirit leads us. And that's great to remember that we're not doing it on our own. We're not doing it in our own strength. We do have the presence of Jesus by his Spirit. We have Holy Spirit in us, leading us, empowering us, comforting us, healing us. And as we move with God, he moves in us and does stuff that we can't do on our own. So let's just have a fresh look again at our mission directives that we get from Matthew 28. We can have the next slide, please. And so Jesus, this is happening after Jesus has already been crucified, risen from the dead, and he's about to ascend to heaven. So let me read that. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted or wavered. What? Amazing. You know, I stopped there because I think, wow, some doubted. They saw him die on a cross. Now he's walking around with flesh on in their presence, and yet even then some doubted. So look, if you're wavering sometimes, you know, you can cut yourself a bit of slack, because here are people who saw Jesus in the flesh before and after the crucifixion, and yet it says some wavered in their faith. That's stunning to me. That kind of makes me stop and wonder what's going on. Let's just keep moving on for the moment. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So what is also interesting about when it says some doubted is what's interesting is what Jesus does next. He doesn't go, "Oh," and say, "Oh, you're not quite sure yet? Okay, well, let's have some more time with you guys. Let's make sure that everyone is really feeling okay about this, and then we'll move into mission." He doesn't do that. It's all systems go. He says, "Be the church." He keeps inviting people in. He doesn't say, well, you can't come. He keeps moving forward with mission. And with him, it's always invitational. Come on, come with us. Be the church. Be empowered by my Spirit so that you can be my mouthpiece, hands and feet in this world, so that those perishing can be saved into the kingdom of light. It's all good. I am with you, he says. I'm with you always to the end of the earth, to the end of the age. And I'm sending you in my authority, which I have now got back, and I've got all authority over everything on the earth, everything in the heaven, and you're going in that. So it's all good. You can go in confidence and courage that I'm sending you. So you've got my backing. We've got the backing of the creator of the universe who has authority. We can go. But yet, so some were wavering, and, you know, Jesus isn't always what we expect. And that does cause us to waver, and it certainly made some of the disciples waver. When, after the resurrection, you know, we read the story about the disciples on the road to Emmaus chatting amongst themselves, and unbeknownst to them, someone comes alongside with them and it happens to be Jesus. They don't know that it's Jesus. And Jesus is going, "Well, what's going on?" And they say, "Don't you know?" Oh, they're so devastated, because they said, "We'd hoped that Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So all that transpired just wasn't what they expected at all. And I think sometimes in our own lives, I don't know, certainly me, that Jesus doesn't always act, or maybe he doesn't act. And it's just not what we expect. "Lord, what are you up to? Why isn't this happening? Why hasn't that happened?" Jesus doesn't always move or act the way that we expect or hope that he's going to. And that was certainly what happened with the disciples. And other disciples who also did see Jesus went and told the others, but they did not believe. And Jesus later on in Mark 16, verse 14, appeared to the 11 disciples. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe that those who had seen him after he'd risen. Their stubborn refusal. They refused to believe. So that speaks to me. But we have choice, don't we? We have a choice whether to believe or not to believe. And Jesus does not want us to be hard-hearted and stubborn, but to have humility and to accept Jesus as Lord of our life and situation, even when we don't understand what's going on. Even when we don't understand. So whatever situation you are in today, let's be surrendered to the Lordship and the love of Jesus, who wants the best for us, is leading us, that he knows and we can trust him. So this wavering faith, it's good to avoid. And so it's good for us to think, well, what causes our faith to waver? Quite simply, that happens when we're not focusing on the right thing, when we're choosing to rely on our feelings and focus on our earthly situation rather than the Word of God. If we shift our focus from the promises that are in his Word to our feelings, our faith will become unstable. But when our faith is grounded in the Word, we never have to question what God says because we're standing on his truth. You know, and with every choice that we make, there are consequences. So what are the consequences if our faith is wavering? Well, I reckon they're quite severe. We miss blessings. We miss what God's doing. We lack peace and we lack joy. And we have a heart that's easily thrown off course when any difficulty arises. An interesting verse is in James, if we can have a look at that, please, from chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. It talks about someone when we doubt. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man or woman should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. He or she is a double-minded person, unstable in all that they do. So double-minded means that, oh, this way? Shall I go this way? That way? I'm not really sure. And it's impossible to take two paths at one time. You can't follow the path of faith and the path of fear at the same time. You're going to choose one or the other. What's going to dominate your heart and your thought life? Because that's the path you're going to choose. And when it comes to fear, we can remember again, we've been singing about the promises of God, and the promise of God to us, that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, has he, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So it begs the question, what should you and I do if our faith wavers or doubt rises? Can we have the next slide? And I start to think, well, what happened with those in the Great Commission verse, Matthew 28, when they doubted? You know, there's no real mention of them actually. But for us, My prayer is for you and for me that we would choose well, that we would choose to stay in the boat. And I hope that all those disciples did stick with Jesus and took up the invitation to go into all the world, because from that point they went and waited for Holy Spirit to come and were filled. And they knew God, the reality of God, in a whole new way. Because when we don't stick together and we decide to separate, that's when we're a great target for Satan, and he'll do all he can to derail us, and he'll make us useless for the kingdom of God, because our focus will be entirely somewhere else and we'll feel defeated and, yeah, not empowered at all. So let's stay in Christ's community. Stay together in our journey of wholeness as we move together in God's mission with his outward focus. So how can we do that? Well, join a life group, start a life group. Maybe you could start something in your own neighbourhood, in your own home. Come regularly to church. You know, church, I believe, is not an option but a priority for those who are wanting to grow in Christ together, to encourage one another. And let's reach out to each other during the week. Let's be there for each other, for everyone else who is in our rescue boat. And let's be mindful of how we can encourage one another in our faith journeys. You know, when we come to, like today, as we're coming in, we can be asking God, you know, what can I bring to encourage one another? Would you, Holy Spirit, even as I'm driving to church right now, would you give me a scripture or a picture for someone that might encourage someone? And let me know who it is when I get in the door today. Maybe it's for a visitor. Maybe it's for someone God will show us. And it's wonderful. I know a few weeks ago on Saturday night, in the middle of the night, God woke me and I had this sense for someone and a picture and a word. And I went, and I did remember the next day because that's always good too. And after the service, went to that person and that person said, oh, I was praying to God that someone would come and talk to me about that today. I thought, wow, thank you, God. This is God's heart. He wants to meet with us and to encourage us and to build us up as his body. Paul in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 19, says, speak to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, with God's word, with hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that bit, always giving thanks to God. You know, let's glow with that attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, because it truly impacts those around us. Have you noticed that? Those who just ooze joy, think, oh, that is so good. You know, just being with people like that encourages you in heart. Let's share, I love these people, joy. Let's share the joy of Jesus with one another while we're in this boat together. But let's never forget what boat that we're actually on. We are on a rescue boat. Just my last word and slide as we finish. So maybe the worship team might want to come up. You know, after his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples. They didn't believe, and Thomas wouldn't believe. He said, I'm not going to believe until I've seen Jesus and put my hands in his wounds. And so Jesus allowed that. He's so gracious. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed, and blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So let's pray as we come to worship. Father, Lord, we thank you for your encouragement today by your Spirit. Lord, and Lord, in our hearts, we want to be a people that keep saying yes to you. Yes to faith in Jesus, and no to doubt and to fear when they rise up. And Lord, our heart today is that we would follow your encouragement in your word to stick together, to be your people in this land, in this world, and to do that and find ways to do that as often as possible. And Lord, Holy Spirit, would you keep helping us to choose well, to choose you, choose faith, choose each other, choose your mission, because our choices have consequences. Would you mold us to be your pure and spotless bride? Come, Lord, come and make the adjustments that you need today. Thank you, Lord.
So I just want to explain what we're going into in the next session. human planning and effort is not good enough to do church